Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zephyr, and this is Frank Prattle. You're live here on Neighborhood Public Radio, broadcasting from San Francisco, California, the Mission, 21st in Valencia, I think it is, ATA. I have some very special guests on today. We have Jay Auslander from Hossfeldt Gallery, and Jay, you want to say hi again?
Hi, everybody.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And Susan O'Malley from Hang Art.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
No problem. If you guys are listening out there, the radio station can be picked up online at www.conceptualart.org/NPR. And why don't you guys give your respective websites for any listeners?
Our website at Hang Art is www.hangart.com.
And I'm at HossfeldtGallery.com, and Hossfeldt is spelled H-O-S-F-E-L-T.
Beautiful. Thank you, guys. All right. So let's get started here. Why don't, Susan, why don't you start it off and tell us who the hell you are and what the hell you do?
My name is Susan O'Malley, and I come here from Hang Art Gallery, and currently I'm the Artist Relations Manager. That's my official title. And basically what I do at the gallery is anything from looking at incoming portfolios that come in, looking for new artists, doing artist studios, to programming, to marketing and press releases. We're kind of a small gallery, but we do represent a lot of artwork. So there's a lot of different hats that all of us definitely play in the gallery.
It's a bit of a hat rodeo.
That's right.
All right. Jay, what about yourself? What do you do?
I am assistant director at Hossfeldt Gallery. I've been there about a year, just over a year now, almost a year and a half. And I wear also many hats, but we put on, I'd say, about a show every 4 to 6 weeks, and it's a lot involved with sort of getting the shows up and down, but also dealing with a lot of clients and perspective and represented artists. We've also just opened a gallery in New York this year, which has been a lot of time and effort, but we're all very excited to have that open and running, and so has me back and forth a little too, which is cool.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's jump right into the thing. One of the main questions that I have for you guys is, you guys both work for private galleries,
mm-hmm.
galleries mostly concerned with, I mean, forgive me if I'm mistaken, but making money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're businesses,
mm-hmm.
unlike, you know, maybe some, you know, larger nonprofit things like that, which also make money, but we won't talk about that. So one of the things that I've often wondered about is how, when you're selling art, when you look at art, mm-hmm. and you're judging prospective artists that are coming in, how do you judge that on saleability alone, or is there some other qualifier in there? And what's your personal takes on that?
Well, I can sort of maybe speak from our personal perspective. I think every gallery is going to be really distinct in their vision, and it's going to be a matter of sort of knowing what is going to work for you. It's knowing the sort of gallery's program and which artists are going to fit into that. I think as aspiring artists, a lot of times we tell people who are looking to submit work that you really need to sort of research the galleries and figure out what it is they're about first. And from that point, get a gauge. And there are going to be only so many galleries that are going to really fit any specific artist's work. And so I think it's our job to sort of put together a program that's, while robust, also sort of is focused and has a degree where all the artists sort of relate somehow, maybe, whether it's process or sort of concept or even more sort of intangible things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Susan, what about yourself?
Well, I think, first of all, Hang Art, we represent all local artwork, basically. And the woman who started the gallery, her main vision for the gallery was that it was going to be a gallery that was really personable and accessible to people who maybe didn't come in with the idea that they could purchase work. So that's kind of like the main mission, is connecting collectors with artwork that they fall in love with. And so given that kind of overall mission, we do represent a lot of artwork, and we're a very kind of different gallery from maybe Hausfeld that represents maybe you have like 30 artists max.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we represent over 70 artists that are all local to the Bay Area. So that kind of gives a really broad range and type of work that we're going to show. But we also have to really kind of know our clients as well. We're much more like client-focused and gallery, where we want to know our client and want to know what they're going to find appealing as well. But also on the other end, we have to find something that feels meaningful and fulfilling for the people who work there as well. So it's a kind of a weighing both of those things, what we know our audience is going to love and what we think we can work towards our audience, that, you know, that they will fall in love with this because we feel really strongly about it as well.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I ask is because, I mean, have you both been to art school? Jay, have you been to art school?
I did art school as part of my undergrad education.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Susan?
Yeah, I actually recently graduated from the MFA program at CCA.
Right. Okay. And so what I was thinking is, I mean, while you're studying art, what have you,
right,
did you picture yourself when you were younger working in a gallery that was primarily involved with sales, or did you think of yourself as, like, you know, an international, I don't know, non-profiteer or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's kind of what I'm driving at.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really interesting question, especially for myself in particular, because the work that I focused on in my graduate degree is actually quite different from the work that we show at Hang. And the one thing that I really love about the gallery and what I think makes us unique is that we're not kidding ourselves for who we are. Like, we're a gallery that's very just up. We're very honest about the fact that we're here to sell work, and we want to provide an income for our artists. And really at the core of it, I think there's kind of like this populist idea that there should be artwork in people's homes, and if you can have it, that's great, and that's going to support an artist and provide an income for an artist. But I, in terms of like my own artistic
vision,
give
us your vision.
In terms of that, that's a really interesting question, and something that I've always sort of felt conflicted with my own work and the way of like the artist as a survivor, the artist as being practical and pragmatic, the artist as someone who has to be concerned with these daily things of paying the rent and things like that. So I guess in my artistic vision, those things do come into play. However, in my own art practice, it's kind of different in how I enact it. Not necessarily thinking about selling objects or producing objects, but definitely the idea of the artist as a pragmatic participant in a community.
That's good. Jay, so. Jay, what about yourself? Give us the true grit.
The true
give
grit.
It to us.
Well, I had a much more sort of circuitous route to where I'm at right now. I started at I studied art at Occidental, which is in LA, and I was doing a sort of mixture of a history and studio major, and got into welding and a lot of large sort of metal work, and was working for a sculptor down there. And then actually did go straight from college into working for a gallery, and hated it. I thought, this is not for me. And I decided to go to law school instead. Did that, practiced for about 3 years, and then on a unique offer from Mr. Todd Hausfeld, decided to get back into it about a year and a half ago. And then, so had sort of my foundations in sort of large-scale sculpture. Even when I first moved to San Francisco, welded for Mr. Fletcher Benton, who's still here working in the city, and kind of an impressive career of sculpture all around the world that he's been commissioned to do. And not necessarily directly related to the program in which I work with at Hausfeld, but there are some interesting sort of correlations, and without going into them in great depth, there's a lot of sculpture work that we do and some of the photographic work, I think, as well. But otherwise, I can't see how, honestly, where I'm at right now came from exactly, but I think it was partly due to a dissatisfaction with law, but also this sort of experience back in college, and then a sort of negative gallery experience when I was in LA. It wasn't terrible, but sort of a very different kind of gallery, and the opportunity I saw at this gallery, which I feel is kind of special. So,
both of your galleries have definitely struck me as places that are leading in their separate fields. And I want to talk about maybe one or two artists from each of your guys' galleries.
Uh-huh.
And definitely one who struck me from Hang Art is is Katie Ryan, or Catherine Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what are your feelings on her work?
Oh, Catherine Ryan's work? She's great. And she's actually, we've shown her work for a while at the gallery. And Catherine paints these paintings that are very graphic, and they look like family portraits or family snapshots, maybe from the 70s, and they have a very familiar feeling to them, like, you know, your aunt posed with a cat in a Christmas tree nearby, but everything's really flattened. And also, there's a really beautiful decorative element where she uses like those really terrible 70 prints on the carpet, or the polka dot dress that someone wears. You know, details like that, that I think she has such a unique way of expressing these just totally quintessential family moments, very American moments. And also, another series that she's recently worked on, which are really interesting, are these family portraits where she introduces animals, and they're kind of like, to me, I look at them and there's kind of like an owl hovering above a family sitting on a couch, and they're kind of like these protective animals above the family. And I think Catherine just has such a unique way of portraying these family moments, these really familial moments that, I mean, if you grew up in the 70s, or if you were a parent in the 70s, those portraits and those snapshots seem really, really familiar.
I know that my mother has a couple laying around. there's even a couple with me with a mullet that are getting in circulation nowadays.
Excellent.
And Jade, one of the artists that I definitely wanted to hear you explain more about is, of course, Russell Crotty.
Russell Crotty, yeah. He is a really fun artist. He lives in Southern California. And he, we just showed some of his work. He does drawings, essentially, and they take different forms. Sort of the most popular form, and some of the work I think is some of the best, is these works on... they are strips of paper that wrap acrylic spheres. And once these strips of paper completely wrap the spheres, he draws with pen the nighttime skies, mm-hmm. complete with constellations and horizon lines often. So he is constantly out there as, well, quote unquote, an amateur astronomer, but he has he has an unbelievable amount
really
of gear.
Yeah,
and he goes out there and he makes observations, and he makes sort of notes and drawings about what it is he's looking at, and then he recreates these on these three-dimensional spherical paper globes, and they are like sort of, you're looking out into the skies, but it's inverted. It's you looking down into this universe, and they range in size anywhere from 8 inches to, he's made some as large as 6 feet in diameter.
Damn!
Which is unbelievable to even sort of deal with logistically to get into a show and such. But he's just been commissioned to do one for the American Embassy in China, I believe. And he's really excited about doing one of these for that. And he's in some really good company with like Ellsworth Kelly and Sarah, I think. And yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, exciting artist. And very, very cool guy. So, and he was once a professional surfer as well, or a semi-professional, I guess. And he spent a lot of time at the water sketching wave action and his friends surfing, and he has some really fun sketchbooks that reflect that period as well. Mm. So,
wow. Yeah. Well, neat.
Yeah.
Also, I definitely want to know, I mean, so these are kind of the directions that your galleries go,
mm-hmm.
but what are your personal feelings? What really gets you when you're, you know,
mm-hmm.
in this neighborhood public radio, so what gets you when you're out in San Francisco? Not when you're, you know, traveling the globe, what have you, but when you're walking mm-hmm. the streets, you know, somebody says, oh, there's a show at Bob, are you going to go? So what do you think, Susan?
Oh, in terms of artwork or in terms of, gosh, there's a lot of work. We were actually just talking about the show that's happening at New Langton Art right now. That's a 5-week exhibition where each week a different curator invites 5 different artists into the space. And I think that's really exciting. And I've only been to 2 of them, but both of them had a totally different and unique energy. And what was so exciting about that was that it felt like the space was actually being, I don't know, charged with sort of like this feeling of experimentalism, and like people were just trying things. It didn't have a sort of preciousness to, like, sometimes you go into these white-walled galleries where everything's kind of like done. It had that feeling of like trying new things and working out ideas, which I think is pretty ambitious programming for them.
Especially 5 shows in 5 weeks.
Totally. Talk about zero sleep. But yeah,
we had Jennifer McCabe on, and she was like, it's just rough.
Yeah, I think that's really, I mean, I love the programming at Southern Exposure, especially this year, just kind of doing things out on the street. I mean, I find beauty in just kind of looking down the street in San Francisco sometimes and finding the little details on the way by. You know, right here at ATA next door, there's a shop full of remedies and candles for curing every single ailment you can consider. And to me, that's a different type of museum, kind of maybe a secret museum for the people who look at the world with artist eyes. So, I mean, it's kind of everywhere for me, what I look at, like looking at and enjoy and respond to.
Jay?
She was talking about walking around, and it made me think of how much I sort of enjoy just the street art, and I guess specifically I've been watching new stencils around the sidewalks.
Yeah.
I really get into the stenciling, and some of the new ideas out there that you see, things that sort of strike you, like people who are actually decorating shadows on the street, and it only sort of comes to realize what that's about every once a day, I guess. And then you know, the graffiti art around the city. I live south of Market, and it's like this really funny battle between those who have to paint the walls back and those who are trying to keep their artwork.
Sometimes that's
in
where
view.
The beauty is, too.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is really neat. And I've watched the same billboard get repainted over about 5 times in the course of a week or something. It's really funny to me. But it's also really great, I think. And I've just had a chance to sort of travel a bit and see some other sort of bohemian and cosmopolitan cities and sort of compare their street art scenes. And
yeah, you just got back from Lisbon, didn't you?
I did.
What's the street art scene look like in Lisbon?
It's actually, I think ultimately it's more accepted. I think you have the Barrio Alto, or as they term it, I think Bajualt. I don't really have Portuguese down very well, but it's rampant and it's pretty great. I mean, it makes the streets really intimate. I mean, they are really intimate. They're really close-knit, and cars really have no business being there in the first place, but somehow they make their way. And you have, just really interesting things everywhere. You have a lot of stencil work, and you also have a lot of things pasted on. And yeah, you have some neat stuff going on. But I think San Francisco has its uniqueness, and it definitely has its place in sort of an international street art scene.
Hmm.
Definitely, I would say.
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
The kids come from all over the globe to write here.
Yeah.
As it were. But specifically, with concern to gallery artists, who do you guys like as far as that goes?
Oh, at our gallery at Hang, there's several artists that are near and dear to me. John Hirschman's work, who's moving on, but he's been an artist who showed at our gallery for several years. It's kind of hard because it's like the list is really long for me, you know. But some other artists, Catherine Ryan, who you mentioned, Josh Keyes is this other really great artist who paints just like the weirdest landscapes that are like spliced and cross-sectioned, and they're really beautiful. And now that I'm on air, I'm like, oh my god, there's so many artists we represent, and I can't.
I'm right there with
anyway.
You. I'm like,
oh, and I have to say Piero Spadaro and Dana Chen, because they're gonna, they're near and dear to my hearts, and I love their work. So there's, I don't know. I think what's hard too is sometimes it's difficult to separate the person from the thing. Sometimes for me, when I get involved with people in that way, and having a conversation about an artwork and the way that something was made will automatically make you see it in a different way. And it's really, you can't ever look at it in a different way after that, too. So, yeah.
Jay?
Well, there's definitely those at the gallery that I am.
You don't have to stay true to your school, though.
Well,
okay.
In some regards, I need to. But and I'm being totally honest, it's some of the most interesting work to me at the moment. I think there is something about, you know, developing relationships with the artists that you work with and getting to understand their work in ever more interesting ways. But I do definitely get out and about. And actually, Catherine Ryan is somebody I've seen around a lot lately, too.
Yeah.
I was at Oakland Art Murmur and saw some of her work over there, even. And seen Zephyr's work over there sometimes.
I wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
Well, another artist kind of off the map from where I work, but who is showing right now at Catherine Clark Gallery is Nina Cacciadorian.
Yeah,
and I think she's
great.
Absolutely hilarious and brilliant. And I'm so delighted every time I'm able to see her work. She has a wicked sense of humor, and everything she does is just so smart. I really like her work, and think that everyone should check out that show.
Okay. One of the central themes kind of to Frank Prattle has been just exploring what your guys' feelings are on the trends in the art world, and that one of the trends definitely being now, how do you feel about supposed movement towards works on paper? Are you seeing a lot of that?
That's funny.
Go ahead,
Jay.
Fight.
I would say almost a third to half of the artists we work with are doing exclusively work on paper. And I think it seems kind of unbelievable, but people are gradually gravitating towards this work more, and it's not seen as preparatory so much, and sort of sketches for more sort of formal or painting or anything else of that matter. So I think people are looking at work of art as a really intimate way to get an understanding of an artist. Also, it brings people in touch with original work as opposed to maybe prints a little more easily. Like, the price point is typically lower as well. So for people who are looking for maybe, not to say that prints don't have a soul to them, but I think there's something in an original work of art that is a little more soulful and does give you...
One of a kind.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an interesting question, because we're having an unframed show next month at Hang, which is going to be all work on paper from artists that maybe wouldn't work on paper before. But like I said earlier, I just graduated from CCA too, and so there's definitely a lot of artists there that are working on paper and working with just very simple line collage elements. Really come into play a lot, and watercolor too, I think. And I haven't given it actually that much thought about in terms of the process, why this process would be kind of more in vogue right now. But in terms of you know, selling work at an art gallery. Like Jay said, it's actually something that we can have in a flat file and have several pieces in a flat file and be able to show to people. And they're kind of like treasures, too, for people on the other end. When you're pulling something out, it seems like it's something special. And typically, if it's unframed, the price point is much lower than, say, a painting. But in terms of, like, why artists are choosing to work in the medium more, I think that's a really interesting question and something I haven't given that much thought to. But, yeah.
To go on just a little bit too, just seeing a work unframed in a gallery setting is special also. Even if it's just like pins or magnets on the wall, I think pulling the work out behind its sort of precious frame gives you a more direct experience, which is nice, and I think people appreciate that as well. I know there's been a couple shows at our gallery even where we've pinned work to the walls, and just to see more clearly the way the paper and mark making sort of interact, I think, is really
so
nice.
So you can get right up on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Get right up on that paper. Seriously.
Yeah. So this, I'm dying to ask you both.
All right.
If let's say that, you know, I were to pull the Scooby mask off and I would actually be a millionaire, a multi-millionaire. I was actually Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Secretly Steve Jobs. And as a completely unheard of moment of, you know, philanthropy, I was to give you each $5 million check. $5,000 wouldn't really cut it, huh? $5 million check. What would you do with that in regards to the art world?
If you were giving it to me personally, I would think of maybe ways to give it to art projects and artists that I really believed in. And most of the work that is mostly near and dear to my heart is work that is more community-oriented, work that maybe will involve human interaction, and kind of work that's going to just allow people in an everyday way look at artwork or art making or artists a little differently, rather than... I feel like, you know, the project that's happening in San Jose where they're kind of like having all these things happen at once, these happenings and performances and video screenings, all these things condensed in 1 week. I think that would be kind of like my dream art thing, to be able to find artists all over the place who are doing things that I think kind of are close to my vision of what I believe art can do in our everyday lives. That's what I would do with my $5 million.
It is done.
Done.
I was waiting for that thing.
Jay, what about you?
I think I would echo her comments. I think programming things that bring a community and its art makers together, back in my mind, maybe I'd want to start an organization that would help do that, but there's so many great ones out there that I think it's almost doing more good to find out more about who those organizations are and give to them. Actually was just...
Are you saying $5 million isn't enough, Jay?
Oh, I could
you can start a foundation, you know, like kind of a trust or something like that.
Right.
The Susan O'Malley and Jay Oslander funds.
I think we could do wonders with that. I don't disagree. That would be fun. But I am involved with sort of SF MoMA's Contemporary Extension, and they do some really great programming, and a lot of the nonprofits around the city also. And I actually quite like Yerba Buena's programming, and...
I've heard a little bit about the SF MoMA's extension. What's that all about?
It is a group dedicated to sort of bringing young potential collectors, I guess, into the museum and getting them tours through the shows that they're doing, doing studio visits with artists that the museum is working with, as well as exploring sort of the Bay Area and different cultural things going on here. I am pretty new to the board, but it looks like they just do a ton. I have way too many emails from them already. I hope they're not missing. There's a lot to do. But it all seems really great. And I've been involved with sort of this mentoring program where they bring inner city school kids into the museum and sort of introduce them to the museum and get them sort of involved with the art there and art making in general and their various art projects that we do. But I've sort of expanded my role to take part in the Contemporary Extension Board, and there's also a lot of social involved as well. It's a pretty fun organization. But I think its goal is really just to bring new young people into the museum and make it this place for discourse and interaction and investigation.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. Good. Well, I think, unfortunately, we're about at our time here, kids.
Oh, that's so much fun.
We were just getting in.
But why don't you just quickly tell all the crew down in Isaiah, down in San Jose,
yeah,
the millions of screaming art fans that are listening to you right now, who you are, and maybe your websites, and any parting gifts for them?
Yeah, my name is Jay Auslander, and I work at Hosfeld Gallery, and we are actually closed for this month, but starting early September, we have a really great show of Liliana Porter, who photographs these cute figurines and interesting sort of philosophical relations with one another, and a painter by the name of Gideon Rubin. And so hope some of you will make a buy.
And my name is Susan O'Malley, and I'm at Hang Art Gallery, downtown San Francisco. Our website's hangart.com, and this month, until the end of the month, we have a great show by Jose Arenas and a group show across the street at our annex that's all abstract paintings, so come on by.
Well, thank you guys both very much.
Oh, thank you.
My name is Zephyr. This is Frank Prattle. You're listening to Neighborhood Public Radio. Down, I think it's 88.9 down in San Jose, but if you're listening, then you know what the hell it is already, so that's useless information. And have a good day. Thanks.